series, Urgency, Making the Most of What We Have, I want to draw attention to something that most people have been asking me about, which is my thumb. So if you see me do this in the message, I'm not asking if you're okay, and I'm not telling you that I think I'm doing a good job. What happens is after I do this for a while, my thumb starts throbbing, and I have to put it back up here. So my son's working at Bracken doing some bleacher repair, and one of the bolts that I was unscrewing at the time was about almost done when he released his end of the board that fell to the ground, which pinned my finger, a bolt between that and the metal piece of the frame, and caused my thumb to go in half. Craig put it better than anyone. He goes, how many times do you have to try to communicate to the church and everyone else that you're not a handy man? He's like, we got it. We saw you build the stools. We saw all that stuff. You don't have to keep proving it to us that you're horrible at those things. And yes, I am horrible at those things. So if you see this, that's what happened. It really hurts bad, but I'm getting through it. Today we're starting a new series, Urgency, Making the Most of the Time We Have. Now, what we're going to do is we're gonna have fun today, okay? This is a pretty, intense, kind of a powerful, needed message today. So I'm going to try to make it a little fun for us and interactive. So if you have your phone, I want you to go ahead and pull it out. Yes, you can use your phone in church. We're going to do a little text polling up here on the screen. You're going to see a poll that you can get involved in. And what you're going to do is, it says, text Bulverde to this number. So you can see real quickly, the number you're going to text instead of like 210-555, the number you're going to text is this, 22333. Your message is Bulverde. Okay, you'll wait about 5-6 seconds. You'll get a message saying back, you can now participate in the poll. Okay, so I'll give you a couple seconds to do that. 22333, that's the person you're texting, person. And then the message is Bulverde. Once you get that, you'll see this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your spiritual maturity? 1 to 10. 1 is being not very spiritually mature. 10 meaning exceptionally mature. It helps if it's all caps, but it doesn't have to be in all caps. I did it last night. It just typed in Bulverde. It worked. So we can start seeing the results of the first service right here. This is live as it's happening. This is what I love about technology when it works. It's pretty cool. Oh yeah, you just type the number in the text message. You don't have to click the link. Once you've gotten your message, hey, you're ready to go. Your next text will be the number you feel like you are, 1 through 10. There's still some people floating in. Thanks for clarifying that for me, babe. By the way, you can only vote once, so you can't be like, oh, look, there's no one who said 10. I'm going to be that person, yeah? Unless you haven't quite voted yet and you're going to be that person. So it looks like the majority of us say we're 6. We're just a little bit above the halfway mark. The next is 7, then a 5, and then kind of drops off pretty significantly there. 12, 12, 9. So most people are saying I'm 6. I'm not halfway. I'm just like one notch above the halfway part in spiritual maturity. Okay, so let me unactivate this poll. Let's go to the next one. How many times a week are we in God's Word? How many times a week are we in God's Word? Now, I'm talking like you opened up the Bible, you studied it. Not like I heard a verse on the radio, or I came to church and I heard the pastor. Like on my own, outside of any group setting, I have read and studied the Word. Not flipped through an app and read a verse and called it, but I spent time studying God's Word. Let me click that off so you can see it. There we go. Oh, Oh, by the way, there's an option for zero. It's number 8. Craig and I noticed when we went through our technical stuff that all my numbers were off because I started with the zero. So I fixed that. So if it's like, hey, honestly, I just don't ever open the Bible, I don't ever read it, you can select 8 and that comes in as 0. Hey, I appreciate honesty. This is true. Now here's some crazy observations here. How is it that we can sit here and say that I'm above average in my spiritual maturity and yet only be in the Bible once a week? And maybe we didn't know zero was an option, so we picked 1, and really it's the 0, but 43, almost half of us say, I only open it one time a week on my own, but the majority of us are better than average in our spiritual maturity. So quick, just let that sink in for us a little bit. And let's dive into the message a little bit this week. What keeps us from walking consistently with Jesus? What are those roadblocks, those hindrances, those things that keep us from spending time with Jesus on a regular basis? Do we see the importance? The reason why we don't, as most people say, well, I don't have time. I just didn't have time. I ran out of time. I just didn't have enough time. I believe there's a difference, way to sum it up. It's not time. It's discipleship. I believe it's discipleship because the thing is, we have always made time for the things that we feel like are important. It's interesting to me that at 10:30 at night, if my wife looks at me, one of the things I do for her and enjoy doing is making sure she has gas in her car. She's probably pumped her own gas, you know, a handful of times in our 19 years of marriage. That's something that I like to do for her. If it's low, I'll run her car up to the gas station. I'll run it through the car wash. I'll put gas in it. And, you know, it's a way I can serve and love and show her my appreciation for who she is and our family and for me. But it's funny how at 10:15 at night, if I realize that, oh, at dinner time, she told me her low gas light turned on, that I can make time at 10:15 at night to go and do that because it's important to me. But sometimes when it's 10:15 at night, we'll say, oh, I haven't read the Bible yet. Oh, I'll just get up early in the morning and I'll do it. See, the thing is time really isn't the greatest excuse because we will always make time for the things that are most important to us. Have you ever noticed you've left work early for something because your kids needed something at school and you had to go home and get it and take it to them? You didn't have time to do that. But because it was important to you, you made it happen. When you were getting ready to, you know, cook and you were getting all your meal prepared and your wife was like, oh my goodness, we don't have any onions. You're like, okay, I'll run to the store real quick and I'll pick up some stuff. You didn't have time to do that because it was important. You did it. I don't think we don't spend time with Jesus because we don't have enough time. I believe it's the discipleship thing. We've not been taught how important it really is. We've not had someone sit with us and coach us along the way to show us the value of spending time with Jesus. We've not surrounded ourselves with people who talk about spending time with Jesus as when they realize, oh my goodness, I haven't been in the Word yet. You know, will you pray for me that I make time over the next day to spend time in the Word? We've not surrounded ourselves with people who see that as an importance in our life. And so that discipleship is missing in our lives. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14, the writer of Hebrews says this, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. The writer says, I've got a lot to say, and it's really hard for me to say this because you can't listen very well. You've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. I'm not throwing stones here, but in ministry, you hear this phrase a lot. Oh, I just wasn't being fed. I just want you to understand something, that as a pastor, there's nothing wrong with claiming that I'm spiritually immature. There's nothing wrong with that. There's something wrong with claiming you're spiritually mature and then saying something like, I wasn't getting fed, because what we're saying is I am spiritually immature. He says here that though this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you. For everyone who lives off milk is unskilled of the word of righteousness since he is a child. Who do you have to feed? The children. Because they can't feed themselves. And yet we raise ourselves in the church and we say, I'm a six, I'm a six, I'm an eight, I'm an eight. How much time do you spend with God? Two times, once, zero. See, the thing is, it's the reason why some of the messages we hear are simplistic or repetitive, honestly, because sometimes we become dull in our hearing. And we ought to be teaching ourselves, but someone's got to be teaching us. If we've been walking with Jesus for more than, I would say, 7, 8 years, I get it. You may not have the gift of teaching, but you should be able to teach. You should be able to disciple. You should be able to train. You should be able to encourage. You should be able to coach. But some of us have become dull of hearing. We claim to be a 7, but in reality, we're a 3. And there's nothing wrong with that. Can I just tell you, if you are saying, Paul, I just haven't matured to the point of my relationship with Jesus that I'm spiritually mature, there's nothing wrong with saying that. Just be honest about it. But what we realize, it's socially unacceptable inside the church to claim such a thing. So we hide it and we pretend and we play games and we attend Bible studies after walking with Jesus for 20, 25, 35 years on how to pray. We should be teaching everyone else how to pray. So how do I do this? How do I take this importance of spending time with God, because he is the everything in my life? How do I make time for this? And when I do make time, what do I do with that time? I think that's a valid question, because a lot of us say, okay, Paul, here, I cleared my schedule and I got my Bible. What now? I'm getting it. I'm spiritually immature. I don't know how to walk with God. I don't know how to read and understand the scriptures. So if I'm going to make time for this, will you teach me? Yes, I'm going to. This is where it gets really, really fun. I want to introduce you to an app called the Bible app. You'll see it up here on the screen in just a second. You can go and type in Bible, okay? It's just a little brown icon. It says Holy Bible. Okay, it's this is the one I use, the Bible app. And here's the cool thing about this. You can type in, you know, we were just read Hebrews 5. So we pop in here, there's Hebrews, there's 5 down here at the bottom, and we read the verse. We can click translations. You can see here that there's different translations. I usually use the ESV, but there's others to pick from. When you find a verse you like this, say, you know what? Verse 12, I like that. I'm going to highlight this. Here's where this becomes fun. Not only can I look up here and say, here's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, but now I can click this and I can share. And I got a friend who I know this applies to, and I'm going to click their email. And I'm going to pull up, oh, look, there's all these people I can airdrop this to. I won't even get into airdrop yet. But oh my goodness, you can start sharing this verse with people. The other thing is you can go here to social media and click Facebook and share this verse and type in, you know, God really spoke to me powerfully this morning. Instead of talking about who's going to win the next presidential election or what's this about or whatever, why don't we share some things that are most important to our lives, the things that we say are important. There should be this sense of urgency to be in the Word. There should be a sense of urgency to share God's Word. And here's an easy way to do it. We find ourselves in the Word of God, and we can highlight, we can even change the colors that we want to highlight these things to. There are great ways to apply God's word. You can email it to yourself, you can add it into your notes. There's lots of different ways to continue to put God's word in front of you. The other cool thing is you're saying, okay, Paul, but am I just supposed to flip through it and just find something or just read the verse that that you suggested on Sunday morning? No. If you look at the very bottom, I'm not sure if you can see it because of the drum cage and I can't scroll up. There's a thing called plans. I'm in a plan right now called Seven Secrets to an Awesome Marriage. You can see that I'm a day behind right now. Okay. Yesterday was Saturday. It was a big day. We drove all the way to College Station and back in a day. So I missed yesterday. But what I do is I go through here in my devotional. This one comes with a video. Watch a 3-4 minute video. When I finish that, I go to the next part and I read 2 Corinthians. Then I go through and I read the next one. I check these off as doing them and it tracks. It can even set up reminders on your phone. Instead of getting a text message and saying, hey, someone's talking to you, it will be the Bible going, hey, don't forget about the plan today. You can set it to go off whenever you want it to go off, when you feel like you're going to be most available to read and remind yourself. Just through this app, I can read the scriptures, highlight scriptures, save scriptures, share scriptures, and I can even be in a plan. This one's marriage. You can go over here to the search bar in the top right-hand corner, and you can type in, say, you know what? We're going to do something on finance. And here's all these different jumpstart your finances. You find a, there it is, and I want to start plan, save it for later, all through your mobile device. That is a great way to spend time with God. The next thing that you can do is partner up with someone and go to Life Coach. It's something that we've talked about in Life Coach many a times. You can see here there's 10 weeks that we go through Life Coach talking about what is salvation. How do I know that I'm a Christian? How do I grow in my relationship? What are the God questions? How did God exist? What does God do? What is his attributes? All those things all the way down to week 10. How am I supposed to be a disciple maker? How am I supposed to do that? What's my role? And the great thing about this is when you open up the weeks, you'll see here the videos. There's a little 3-4 minute video on how this works. And you can go through and there's the lesson for the day. And at the bottom, there's questions. Did you pray the prayer to invite Jesus into your heart? No, I didn't, but I have. There's all these answers. And the great thing about this is your coaches get these answers to walk through with you what it means to walk with the Lord. Now, the last one, really hope you're excited about. It's called Bible Lens. Probably none of you have it on your phone, so you have to go to your app store and called Bible Lens, L-E, I don't want to rate it right now, no. Here's the cool thing about this. It's you guys. My camera's messed up. There we go. Now, here's the neat thing about this. Is I can take a picture of just my hand. And there's different verses that could come along the side of this one. Now, I could come and discard photo. Take a picture of you guys. Let's see what comes up here. And when I find a verse that I like John 1:5, the light shines in darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, John 1:5, I'm like, that's pretty cool. I want to share it with one of my friends, but I don't like the way it looks. And I can change the different ways that this happens. And now I've got a creative picture on top of a Bible verse. And then I go to save. Save it. And then I can share it on Facebook or social media, Instagram, or I can save the picture and send it to a friend in an email and those kinds of things. There are creative ways when you're in God's word to make it exciting. So let's dive back into our notes real quick. Spending time with God should not be boring. It should be exciting. We should get something out of it. And we live in a world where everyone seems to have a cell phone and access to social media. And what are we using it for? What if that time we shared? The thing is, when you learn something, the idea of discipleship is not just to learn something for yourself. It's to learn something to share it with someone else. the information you have is not just for you, it's for someone else. And so now you can easily, as a platform, find a verse, take a picture of your kids. And it talks about train up a child in the way, and he will not, you know, depart from it. So you can share that proverb, save it, come up with a cool, you know, design for it, save it, and send it on social media. And now you're putting scripture out there for yourself to see, for your friends to see, and it helps you be accountable in what you are doing. You can create a Bible plan. You can highlight and share verses. Those are the things you can do. Now, why? Why is all this important? Well, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are called to offer our very lives as a living sacrifice for God. And that doing that is an honorable act of worship. In order to accurately do this, our lives must not be conformed or be patterned after this world. I remember when I was younger, my mom would make dresses for my sister, and she had a pattern. She would go out in the McCalls, I think is what it was. She'd go out, lay out the McCalls and had all those dotted lines and stuff, and so my mom would draw, and she would cut it out and sew, make my sister a dress. She had to have a pattern. And she modeled that dress after the pattern. We are not to lay ourselves out for the world and be conformed to the pattern of this world. We are to lay ourselves out to be molded by the hands of God. And we lay ourselves out. And when we do that, it is considered, God says, this is your spiritual act of worship. When you offer your life to me, that is an honorable act of worship. But he says, in order to do that, you must renew your mind. And the only way to renew our minds of the things of God is to spend time with him. You ever found yourself, moms and dads, saying the things that your parents said that you swore you'd never say? You want to know why you say those things? Because you surrounded yourself with that person your entire life, and it stuck. I, for some reason, always tell everybody, have fun today, have fun. Why? Because my dad says everything before he gets on the phone. Hey, have fun today. Have fun. I heard it my whole life, and now I just say it. I don't even mean to say have fun. I've told people, like, I got to go to the doctor. Well, have fun. And I'm like, I'm an idiot. I'm thinking, well, you probably could have fun in the doctor's office, you know. It stuck with me because I surrounded myself with it. And Paul says, renew your minds. And the only way to renew your mind is to spend time with him. That way you find yourself saying the things that God said, not just what your friends say. Look what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased praying and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, it didn't say feel goods. It didn't say the cozy, you know, bumply, it didn't say that's what he wants to renew yourself to. He says, I'm praying that you'll be filled with knowing who God is. The only way to be filled with knowing who God is to be in his word, to find out what he's already said and allow that to renew our minds from our stinking thinking and how ourselves say the life that comes from the word of God. Paul did not want us to have cuddly feelings. He said knowledge, wisdom, understanding. That way we can walk correctly, bearing fruit. We talked about that last week, abiding in him. We would bear fruit and increase in our knowledge. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and your virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are in you and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective, unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we will dedicate ourselves to being with Jesus, it will keep us from being ineffective, unfruitful in the knowledge of God. So, yes, okay, Paul, I get it. I came here today, I said I was a 7. I spend time with Jesus once a day. I see the disconnect. I see that there are tools out there that can help me stay on a track. But I'm really kind of on my own. I need help. I need someone to come alongside me. What is the church doing to help address this? Well, I'm glad you allowed me to ask that question for you. I talked earlier about Life Coach. We've had 25 people sign up and go through it since the beginning of this year. 25 people said, I would like someone to come alongside me to help me keep me accountable to what it means to walk with Jesus. Someone who can teach me what it means to grow in my relationship with Jesus, because I believe that this relationship is more important than anything else that could ever be, more important than my relationship with my spouse, my kids, my coworkers. As a matter of fact, from this one relationship, everything else filters. And I don't spend time with them. And no wonder my marriage is struggling. No wonder my relationship with my kids is struggling. No wonder I'm struggling with my relationship with my boss at work or my employees at work or the people I hang out with, my soccer team, my football team. No wonder, see, everything else seems to be crumbling because I'm a 1, not a 7. So how do I change that? Well, there's been 25 people who have recognized the need to have someone come alongside them and say, I love you. I love Jesus. Let's do this together. And those questions you've always asked yourself, how can God do this or why does God do that? That person may not actually know the answer, but they're going to walk with you to help discover those things. And the great thing is it's not me. It's not the church staff necessarily, although we are discipling people, because we're not going to ask you to do anything we wouldn't do anything we're not doing ourselves. But there's been 25 people in this church in the last year say, I want to be a part of that. We're actually going to have a training session coming up in the next month for those who have completed it and now want to also be able to do that for other people, to coach people through Life Coach. So we're doing that as a church. The other thing is Sunday morning small groups. If you're leaving church today and you're going to go home, you're going to go beat the Methodist to Luby's because that's why you come to the first service, you're missing out on an important time to connect with other people and surround yourself with fellowship in the Word of God. We've got classes from the little biddies to the older biddies. I don't know how to say it really, but we got classes for everyone. We may not have your exact narrow demographic. Do you have a class for 42-year-old males who have 3 dogs and live in an apartment and drive, no, we may not have a class for that, but we have people that love Jesus. And if you're wanting to love him too, we can make a connection. Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning, as soon as first service is off, 9:45 to 10:45, we dismiss into small groups and have Bible study and fellowship. I can't know when everyone else has knee replacement surgery, hospital, fever, or there's something wrong with their kids. I can't know in a church of 500 people everything, nor can I effectively take care of 500 people. But if the people you belong to on a regular basis, we go from 1 of 500 to 1 of 25 now. Now we know when things happen. And we got that group of people around to love, care, support those people. That's what a small group does. I would encourage you to be a part of that. After service, if you don't know what to plug into, come find me. Come one of our deacons, I'll be here at the bottom and say, hey, I want to get plugged into a class. Help me figure out. Phil's usually over at the education building. Walk over, find Phil, our associate pastor, and say, Phil, help me find a class. We'll find you a class. Or just show up in one. Be like, ta-da, here I am. The last thing is this, Wednesday night discipleship classes. Starting this Wednesday, midweek, those who said, I'll only do it one time, here's an opportunity to get back into the Word of God another time and increase your amount of time from 1 to 2, increase it by 100%. We've got several things. One we've got going for our married people called Love and Respect. They're going to meet out here in the foyer, taught by 3 different married couples. It'll be all semester long, Love and Respect. The love she desires, the respect he needs. Great opportunity for you to connect in with our marriage ministry. You say, well, I don't, my marriage isn't falling apart. Awesome. Well, my car's not broken either, and I got its oil changed last week too. I don't just fix the things that are broken, I also maintain. So maybe it's a great opportunity to maintain the healthy marriage you have and go be a part of this. The other one is this. We've got our fan ministry is doing their small groups meets on Wednesday nights. So if you have ever been curious what foster adoption look like or how to get plugged into that and surround yourself with people who are in that, they meet on Wednesday nights as well. The other thing we have is for our men's ministry. They're doing Experiencing God. They're going to meet over here in the senior adult classroom. Experiencing God for our men. There's a cost to that book. It's going to be $20. But we're going to walk through that this semester. Jerry Compton's going to be teaching that. So if you're a man and want to connect with other men and be in the Word of God on a regular basis, this is a great opportunity to do it. Our women, they're actually going to be going through Psalms 119 led by video series Matt Chandler. He's a pastor in the Dallas area. Again, this is an opportunity for all you ladies to get around other ladies, dive into the Word of God on a regular basis. These are things that we're doing as a church to equip you to go from a 1 to a 2, a 3 to a 5, a 6 to a 7, not just in your spiritual growth, but in the time that you spend with him. If you say that I love my wife more than any other person on this earth and I only tell her I love her once every 6 months, there's a disconnect there. And I think there's a disconnect here. And we go back and we were to read that Hebrews passage, we would see it a little more clearly. The writer saying, I want so much to teach you, so much to say, but your ears have become dull. By this point, you should be teaching, but instead you're having to be taught. You should be eating solid food, but we're still drinking milk. Let this be an encouragement to us. There should be a sense of urgency in our lives to spend time with Jesus, the one who loves us more than anyone else. His words are life-giving. They're good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us for righteousness, that we will be equipped to do everything that God has called us to do. Let's stand to our feet and we'll close in a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for today. I pray that we would be encouraged through the Word of God, that there are ways to be involved in the Scripture. There's ways to be encouraged through Scripture. There's ways to encourage other people through Scripture. Lord, help us, teach us how to walk with you. But let us be honest. Let us not walk around claiming to be an 8 when we really should be a 3. There's nothing wrong with being a 3 if we're honest about it. But pride will keep us from moving every single time. So break our hearts and break the pride down, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.